Millions in the making. Why we should try. When Tim and I were discussing ideas for this podcast, one of the titles we considered was Millions in the Making. He really liked it. I didn't. And I couldn't understand why. The fact that I couldn't describe why I didn't love the title, Millions in the Making, had me questioning, one, my communication skills, and two, my attitude towards money, and the way I've been programmed to interact with money. I came up with all kinds of reasons, and then it occurred to me, why not ask Tim?
This is Money Philosophy, with Tim Conley and Tam Lay.
Millions in the making.
Yes.
We were talking about Millions in the Making as a title, and I just want to ask you a super simple question. Why do you think it's important for us to examine the topic of making millions?
Oh my gosh, you said an easy one. Making money is our system. It's our water as fish. We have to have it because it allows us to do every modern thing. Even if we were to move out into the middle of nowhere, It is almost impossible in the modern world to live out in the middle of nowhere and sustain yourself. It's simply because of the degradation of the environment. There's just not enough food out there to just forage for it and hunt for it. Only a few places on the planet still provide that level of sustenance, and only a small number of people could go do that. So you have to have money, and you need more money than subsistence. The problem is when people are making money, they tend to not make enough money to take care of their desires and save money. So you have to make enough money faster than your desires ramp up, because all humans want more. It's just built into our nature. So we want more and more. So we have to make money faster than our desire to spend it comes along.
Or manage the desires.
Yes, that is a better solution, but it's really difficult. And so we've talked about this in a previous episode where I talk about legacy. You're not making money just for you. I think a lot of younger generations don't think about legacy anymore. I think the baby boomer generation in America was the first generation to not care about the future generations. And if you look at how they spend the money that they've made through their lives, they're not intending to leave money to the next generation, which is the first generation in human history to not want to leave a legacy for their offspring and their lineage.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think there was this massive reaction that happened right after World War II, where the children born after World War II, they had everything. The economies around the world were just booming afterwards, and they did for the whole childhood and teenage years of the baby boomers. They've been that level of self-indulgence that no other generation had ever had. And now they want to indulge themselves in their old age because they've done it their entire lives. And if you look at how they make decisions inside of governments, because they are predominantly the people running the governments in the world, they still make very selfish decisions.
Okay, so let me recap. Why do we need to make millions? And you said making money is the thing we do because, yeah, in 2021, if you don't have money, the alternative is gone. Like maybe 50 years ago, you could have still done it. But not anymore, not today. You can't live off the land without money, which means you're either going to be a burden on somebody else's life or you're just going to be miserable yourself. Even if you're not burdening anyone else, you're just going to have, you're just going to suffer by yourself.
It might not feel like suffering. A lot of people go through their day and they don't realize that they're not free.
Well, then I would question, what's the problem? If nobody's suffering, if poor people are not suffering, why should they make any money? Why should they try to change that? Why should they try to change anything if there's no suffering?
Have you ever had like a headache, but you didn't really notice it for like several hours? But as soon as you notice it and you maybe take something and gets rid of the headache and then it's gone and you're like,
I didn't realize I was carrying that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you just didn't realize you had this headache. And then all of a sudden when you get rid of it, you're like, oh, wow, I feel so much better. So humans have this really interesting capacity to deal with pain. We just go through it. A little over 28 years ago, I shattered my ankle when I was in the military. And since then, I have been in constant pain the whole time. But I walk around like I'm not disabled. People look at me and they're like, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. Yet they don't know that I'm in constant pain. But here's the thing. If the pain doesn't get above a certain threshold, I don't even notice it anymore. So then, am I really in pain? Oh, I know when the pain's not there. Like if I am resting up or something and it doesn't ache. Oh, wow. I feel my ankle does not hurt today. Like that's, I notice it when it's not hurting because it hurts all the time. So if your whole life is just that and you don't know anything different, it's only when it's gone that you go, wow, I didn't know it could be like this.
Do you like the idea of helping those who might not even need help, who might not know that they need help? Because that's what you're saying.
I like the idea. Okay. Yeah, that's the question you had. I like the idea. The reality is most of those people will get mad at you if you point it out.
Absolutely.
So I learned my lesson. I do not give unsolicited advice to anyone. So you listening, you're getting solicited advice because you pushed play. Right?
On a podcast titled Money Philosophy.
Right. You volunteered to listen to this. You might not like it, but I am not giving any unsolicited advice in this show.
Okay, love it. So the solicited advice, which is basically just you answering my question, is why we should try to make money is for personal freedom, for personal sovereignty. Why is that important? Because the alternative is much more painful.
Yes. But and again, we've got to carry this beyond yourself. Like if you have children, you should want to give them the ability to have personal freedom. There's this, and I might be taking us off track again, but there's this notion that's been going around to not leave anything for the future generation because they need to work for it. Or it's just not fair to give your children a better starting place than other people's children. That's a terrible way to look at the world. It's an immensely destructive way to look at the world. So the way I look at it is I'm going to help my child and my child's children to have a better life so that they can help other people's children have a better life, and those people's children will help other people's children have a better life, and so on for generations. You cannot do that if you blow all your wealth in your lifetime.
Okay. All right. So now quickly, let's look at the numbers again. So Millions in the Making, that was the title you really liked. Is it a good idea? Is it healthy to aim for an even million, or should you not have a number in mind?
That's why it's millions, right? An even million, yeah, you could go make a million. That'd be fantastic. It would be helpful to nearly everyone on the planet. So it's not a bad goal. It's in the Western world, not really a sufficient goal, but for you personally, it's not a sufficient goal. But if you are thinking generationally, it's a really good goal. Because if you could accumulate $1 million and that's what gets left to your children, and you've taught your children well, and they are working towards building $1 million in their lifetime, so they'll be working towards building their $1 million. You've got your $1 million. At the end of your life, that million goes to them. Now they're going to have $2 million. And they're going to give that $2 million to their children who are also working towards their $1 million. Mm. See how, so compounding interest works over time. European aristocracy still has money that they're living off of that their ancestors put into special legal trusts and foundations that keep the money from being taxed away by European governments. And that's how they're able to live these incredibly wealthy lifestyles today, because it's compounded over 500, 700 years.
Mm. And I like what you said, what you told me once a long time ago, the idea of crabs in a bucket pulling each other down. So for those that are not aristocracy, who are trying to make their first million, they're gonna have to fight the general, you know, naysayers who talk about how unhealthy it is to try to make money, how immoral it is to try to make money.
Right. So the thing is, they're not actually fighting those people. So I want to make that distinct. When somebody is trying, some other crab is trying to pull you down into the bucket. You're not fighting that person. You're fighting your nature to listen to to the group.
Mm.
That's what you're fighting.
Yeah.
Because we're social creatures, and our social circles define who we listen to, because we want to be accepted by society, by our tribe. And so if you find yourself surrounded by people who only want to pull you down, they don't want to see you succeed.
You should take that as a sign to get a new social circle.
Well, yes, true. Go get a new social circle, which makes it easier because you're going to listen to the people around you. So go listen to people who want to see you go make a million. And it'll make your life, it'll make the process of getting there far easier. And then if you're unsure if the people around you would be supportive, don't say anything. Just do it. which also goes against our human nature, because we want to share the good things in our lives with those we love.
We want validation.
And it's like, oh, wow, I'm doing this thing. I'm so excited. And then they're like, oh, that's terrible. That's a terrible idea. You shouldn't do that. You're a bad person. Like, oh, right? So just don't. That's probably a harder struggle.
Why is it so easy for us to tear others down? Looking at it from the terror's point of view, why is it so easy for us to be negative towards somebody else?
Destruction is easier than creation.
So anybody who doesn't want to put in any kind of effort, the thing that takes less effort is destroying. So if yes. If you don't have too much energy and you only have a little bit of energy to spend, you're going to spend it on tearing something down.
Exactly. Figuring out how to lift everyone up is very difficult. But destroying everyone, being a crab and pulling all the other crabs back into the bucket to be eaten, is easier.
Which is why we should be trying to make money, and we should not be ashamed of it.
Correct.
I think that's a powerful point, and it's going to hit home.
Good.
Because the majority of people are ashamed to say, I want to make money.
That's why I gave advice of, you know, don't tell those people.
Yeah.
I don't want you to be ashamed. I just don't want you to be antagonized by others. So go find places like this show and other communities that will be like, yeah, that's a great idea. Let me help you along your path. When you're in those groups and you are having those conversations, you will be lifted up. A rising tide lifts all boats. So you go into a community, and the internet makes that incredibly possible, is to go into a community that lifts up your boat.
This is Money Philosophy with Tim Conley and Tan Lei.
So, after another enjoyable conversation with Tim, it became clear to me why I didn't like the title Millions in the Making. It's because I was ashamed to say it. I was afraid to be looked down upon for chasing money, or even worse, having money. And then I wondered how many others had this mindset pre-programmed into them. How many prisoners can be pre-programmed to be ashamed of wanting freedom? My name is Tan Lei. This is Money Philosophy. Thanks for listening, and please join again next time.